Welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Steve, and our congregation is pleased to share this message with you today, and we pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Blessings as you listen or watch.
Book of Ephesians chapter 4 in your copy of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. Great to see each of you. We have several guests that are here as well, and we're really glad you're here. Please make sure you stop at our guest station, and we have a gift for you, and I'd like to send you a card and say thank you for coming to church today, and so please stop out there on your way out. And great to see everybody else here. And several people returned from quarantine and things like that. And we're glad for all the recoveries and things. And all those at home, thanks for watching at home and tuning in. We're glad you're there as well. The on-off button of your life. That's what we'll talk about here today from Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to learn about how to change your life. How to change your life. Who is your favorite ball player in the NFL or in the NBA or Major League Baseball or NHL? Maybe you have a favorite ball player. What if they were traded? My favorite player is Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies. What if they were traded to another team and then they kept talking about how good their other team was, their previous team. And they just at the press conferences like, oh, I wish I was on the other team. And even their play on the court would not be as good as it would have been because, oh, you know, our other coach, he was just so much, my other teammates, they were just so much better. And they kept going on and on like that. What about your favorite newscaster? I don't know if you have a favorite newscaster. But what if they traded stations, they went to another station, and they got a different contract, and they just kept talking about, oh, my life before at CBS or ABC, not that it had been any better, any of these places, was so much better, and I just really enjoyed my colleagues there better at NBC and all these different things. What if they just kept going on and on about their previous workplace? What's the best car you've ever had? What if somebody gave you a brand new car? You don't have your old car anymore. You have a brand new car. What if you came across very unappreciative and just kept talking about how good your old car was? That wouldn't seem too healthy or good, would it? Because those were old things. Those were old opportunities. And in this passage, we learn about the old and the new. And as Christians, we had an old life, a previous life, a former life, but now we are something new and different and better in the Lord Jesus Christ. So why would we go on and on about the old life or live in the old life when we have a new life? Our human sinful nature is resistant to change. And this passage is all about change. And change is good. I'll try to demonstrate that to you today. But our sinful nature is resistant to change. And part of that is because sometimes we want to play God, lowercase G-O-D, oh God in our life. We want to be our own God. We want to be the one in charge or in control and have all of our ducks in a row, as it were. And we want to have things going in our own comfort zone. But what if there's change that could be affected in your life that would be for the good and for better? Change that God wants to bring about in your life. Well, when it comes to change, somebody said there's five attitudes about change. There's the early innovators with about 2.5% percent of people that run to new ideas. They're the early adapters, about 13% who adapt that new idea and early on. Then there are the slow majority. They're kind of like herd followers, 34% like, oh, well, after all, it is a good idea. I'll go along with that change. There's the reluctant majority, another 34%, like, well, I guess so, reluctant majority. Then there's those that are antagonistic, about 16%, and they say, I'll never change, and they don't want to change anything in their life. But change is good. There's three stages when it comes to change. There's resistance to change, and there's tolerance to change, and then there's embracing the change. Now, as we read this passage, Ephesians is all about being in Christ. We find in Christ again, in Jesus again, once more in this passage. And it's important to understand this chapter 4. There's unity, the first few verses, then there's diversity, the rest of the chapter. And in these verses that we're about to read, unity and diversity come together so that there's spiritual change in our life, that we would become more like Christ. In fact, from these verses on to chapter 6, verse 9, all of these verses are talking about a natural conclusion about living because I'm now in Christ, and the changes that are brought about because I am a Christian. And here's who I was before, but now that I'm a Christian, basically from this verse that we're about to read to chapter 6, verse 9, it's all about the new life that we have in Christ. Now, notice in our passage, if you would, verse 17, as we begin in our text, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in a vanity of their mind." The Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian believers. They live in a place called Ephesus, and it's not a Jewish city. It's a Greek city, if you would. It's a Roman city. And he's writing to them and says, don't walk like other Gentiles, like other nations, like other people groups walk, in a vanity of their mind. The word walk in Scripture is used many times to describe a conduct in life, in general, the general demeanor of a person or their deportment. So don't walk like the other Gentiles walk. You have a different way to walk now that you are in Christ. Now notice what he says, and here's the reason why. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So they're not able to see things accurately or truthfully or properly. Because of their heart, there's blindness in their heart. Who being past feeling, that's such a sad verse. What a sad statement. Here are these Gentile people, they're past feeling. There's no emotion there. Have you ever seen somebody that's addicted to something, they're just kind of, their eyes are glazed over, they're past feeling because of that. We'll identify and talk about some of that more in just a moment. Have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That's licentiousness. It's the idea of sexual freedom. Just do whatever you want with that. To work all uncleanness that goes along with lasciviousness, with greediness, so there's impurity, and there's covetingness, impurity. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. The next three verses are key texts today that you put off. Concerning the former conversation, that means lifestyle, the old man, that's your nature, that's your person who you were before Christ, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, that's your flesh, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed is in a present tense. The idea of this, sometimes we read it as in past tense, but it's being renewed. You're renewing, being renewed each day, being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if you would, and if you underline things or circle things in your Bible, verse 22, put off. You could do that on put off. And next verse, verse 24, put on. There's a contrast here. There's a previous, there's a before, and an after. There's a contrasting way of walking like the Gentiles walk. Don't walk like they walk. There's a new walk in life that you have because you are now in Christ. Before I was a Christian, and now after I have become a Christian. These are competing for your heart, your body, and your soul. There's a competition in your mind, your heart, and your body. Before, like the Gentiles, the multitudes, the people, the nations, and after, like a new man, a new woman in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how they're walking in verse 17 in the vanity of their mind. The vanity of their mind, futility. futility. Futile is what this word means. There's an emptiness there, vanity, empty thoughts, empty thinking. Here's the definition of this, how it's used throughout Scripture. In 2 Peter, one is devoid of truth. That's what the word vanity means. It's devoid of truth. It's devoid of appropriateness. Here in our passage, Ephesians 4:17, it has to do with perverseness or deprivation. Deprivation, not deprivation, but deprivation, like depravity type things. And then there's frailty in Romans 8:20, frailty and want of vigor. There's no, it's like lifeless almost. That's the idea of this word of vanity. So it's empty. There's not much there. It's futile. That's what he's speaking about. Christian, we have a reason. We have a purpose to be alive. There's a reason that God called you to salvation, that you answered that call, and he gave you a new life in Christ, if you're born again, if you're a Christian today. Now, when we read these verses, he says, don't walk like this. So we think about worldliness and vanity. A lot of times that'll go together. What's the world? It's more to do with thinking and what we love. When someone says worldliness, a lot of times we talk about physical things. It's not physical things. It has to do with your mind and your heart, what your affections are set upon and what you're thinking about. That's where we find worldliness. It's found and captured in philosophy, worldly philosophy, a carnal or fleshly ideology. So here's something to think about. Worldliness is not so much what we do, but how we think and what we love. We have generations of Christians who think and love just like the Pharisees. As long as I don't do these things, I can have as bad an attitude as I want, because I love my works. I'm not doing these things, so I love my works. I'm measuring up because of my works. A Pharisee could say that. And their heart is not with God. Their thoughts are not on truth. And there are a lot of Christians that live that way as well. Just as long as I don't do that, but I'm just nasty all the time. There's nothing healthy about that. It's not good. That's not a testimony towards Christ. You're just as worldly as somebody who's doing what you would consider worldly because of doing or not doing something. I'm talking about physical actions. It's not the physical things. Eventually, it may get to physical things, but it all has to do with your head, what you're thinking, and your heart, what you are loving. Dr. Dan Amen has the Amen Clinics. I like that. It's a nice name, isn't it? Amen is his name. He's a Christian psychiatrist. He does brain scans. It's fascinating, the study of the human brain from a Christian perspective. And he wrote a book, and I think it's a great idea behind it, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. Here we find in our passage, we read it several times, instead of the vanity of the mind in verse 17, we're to have the mind that's renewed in verse 23. Renewed to be more like Christ, to be thinking like Christ. Leo Tolstoy, you've heard him perhaps, the Russian writer. By the way, we should pray for our world as Russia appears to about to start a war over there in their part of the world, it seems like. But here's what the Russian writer Tolstoy said. He said, everybody thinks of changing humanity, and nobody thinks of changing himself. Change is good. Change is healthy. What we do, our actions, and what we love, our affections, are indications of how we are thinking. But before your thinking is affected, the heart must be affected. So that means priorities are changing. This affection, then, this love, changes when we are confronted with the gospel and we give our heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the life change, and at that moment, you have a new life in Christ. There's new potential for you to not walk after the lust of the flesh, not walk in that old nature, not walk after corruption and sin, but walk in righteousness and holiness and becoming more like Christ, because I'm in Christ. I'm not outside of Christ. I'm in Christ. All parts of our being can change according to this passage. Your mind, your heart, and what you do, your body, all these things can change by the power of the gospel. There's an Italian woman in Italy whose husband had accepted the gospel. He joined a Protestant church. So he's no longer part of the Roman church, the Protestant church. And he was asked, or she was asked, is it true that your husband changed his religion? She said, no, I don't think it's so much that, but his religion sure has changed him. They said, how's that? She said, haven't you noticed he's not getting drunk anymore? He's changing. He's changing. There's something that's changed about him and changing in him because of the gospel. The gospel affected him. Now, Ephesians 4, 17 down to chapter 6, verse 9 deals with the after effects of becoming a new person in Christ. And it makes logical. The next several messages are very logical conclusions as to, now that I'm a Christian, here's how I think, here's how I love, here's how I act and what I do. And logical conclusions based on what God did for us with the gospel. So how can I change? Verse 22. Put on, verse 24, put off. Put off and put on. So this is sometimes called the replacement principle. The replacement principle. It's a before and after perspective. We could say it this way. Put the hit the on-off button every day. In your life, hit the on-off button. You all have devices. You turn on your car. Some of you have a push button on your car even. And on, off. Your phone, on, off. Your computer, on, off. Your life in Christ, each day, I am being renewed, on. My old nature, my old self, my sinful past, off. I don't want to keep living there. I'm going to live in Christ. I'm putting that on. This is a daily proposition for each of us today to keep changing daily. Little boy kept saying, oh, it's so hard to do what's right. It's so hard for me to do what's right. He wanted to do what's right, but he was having a hard time doing what's right. This little boy learned how to read, and he learned how to read so he could understand the Bible. He was reading the Bible, and as he was reading the Bible, one day it dawned on him. He finally realized, why, I've been trying to do good all by myself when I need to allow God to do good in and through me. It's not so much your effort. It's allowing God, his Spirit, to work in and through you to become more like Christ. So ask God. He said, the little boy said, I could pray. I could ask God to help me change. I don't want to keep doing what's wrong. I want to do what's right. And so he started to pray to do what's right. You could pray, Lord, help me to do what's right today. Guide my steps today. I don't want to walk like I used to walk. I don't want to live how I used to live. But by your grace, I can live in a right path, doing the right things, thinking the right way. So ask God to lead you and then submit to his leading and teaching in your life. So why do we need to change? Our human nature, our sinful flesh has changed. No, change, no. But why do we need to change? Verse 17 talks about walking. Walking requires looking ahead. You need to know where you're taking a step. You need to be able to look ahead to navigate the path. In verse 18, the Gentiles, the lost, the nations that's mentioned here, they're going after these false gods. They're following after the lust of the flesh, and they have blinders on their heart. Their affection is towards the things of this world and their sinful flesh. So seeing requires the blinders to be lifted off of our eyes. And after all, our goal is that we become more like Christ. This is sanctification, progressive sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. Every day, Lord, help me to be more like Jesus. Help me to say, to think, to be, to do more like you. And so that should be a goal, to keep changing in your life. So how do we know that change is healthy? Well, change is good. Think about a seed. It becomes a plant. Isn't that good? You put a seed in the ground. Wouldn't it be troubling to you if you planted everything in your garden and nothing came up? That'd be pretty troubling. I'd be like, what's wrong with the seeds here? Something's wrong. So a seed grows. That's good. A child becomes an adult. That's healthy. That's good. We should want that change to take place. An immature becomes mature. Well, that's good. That's good. Growing up in different ways. An ignorant, the word ignorance used here, an ignorant, that doesn't mean stupid, it means just uninformed. An ignorant becomes informed. Now he knows something. She knows something. A novice grows and becomes experienced. He changes and becomes experienced. A new Christian grows up in Christ and becomes more like Jesus. That's a change. It's a metamorphosis in Romans chapter 12. It's becoming more like Christ. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Metamorphosis, that's a change. It's healthy. Change is possible by the power of God and His gospel. And when you trusted the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you were enabled, and God has blessed you and given you something, His Holy Spirit, and there's change that can be affected in your life. It's all because of the gospel and what Jesus did, because His Spirit lives in you. One person suggested, if your religion doesn't change you, then you should change your religion. We would say it this way: if your relationship with Christ doesn't change you, you need to work on that relationship. Keep working on that relationship. So pick any singular problem. What can be changed? Pick any singular problem, issue, habit, choice. You pick it. In your mind, pick it. By God's grace, that can be changed. Now, there's always going to be consequences for our choices. You make some bad choices, there may be some prices to pay relationally, monetarily, health-wise. There's always ramifications for our actions and choices. But anything can be changed. Your perspective of it, how you deal with this, how you go through this. You see, your life can still glorify God. You may still have hardship, and the effects and consequences may still be there, but you can be a changed man. You'll be a changed woman by the grace of God. So hit that on and off button daily. Keep changing daily. Verse 23, be renewed. Now, this idea is throughout Scripture in Titus chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diversity, that means different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. And after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing, there's our word again, renewing of the Holy Ghost, and which he said on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, you got to love this verse, Titus 3, and this idea of renewing. It's the same root word, renewing and being renewed. The starting point for your renewal is when you place your faith in Christ. When you believe the gospel, then He saved you. You are completely saved. You have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have the possession of eternal life. It's yours. And at the same time, He's still forming us and molding us and making us to be more like Christ. It's a daily idea. So keep changing daily. Here's what's being renewed. In verses 17 through 24, especially, we have the idea of our mind. In verse 17, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. In verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so changing your mind. Now, some of us, when it comes to small things, change our mind too much. Like, oh, I want to eat this, or I want to eat that. It's not what we're talking about. What paint color should we choose? Oh, I like this. I like that. No. A little bit deeper than that. Superficial stuff. A changing of the mind. Before Christ, in these verses, my mind was full of vanity, empty, futile thoughts, empty, entertained, or just outright evil. Our world is all after entertainment. Amuse, just sit there and not think about anything. Amusement, that's the idea of amuse. And so either it's evil or just entertained or empty, our mind before Christ, but after Christ, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have purpose. You have a reason. It's all because of the gospel that you accepted, that you believed. Winston Churchill wrote, a fanatic. He said, a fanatic is a person who can't change his mind and won't change the subject. You know any fanatics like that? You know, we should be able to let God change our mind, and here's what it's changing it to be thinking like God thinks. to be perceiving our situation the way that God perceives and sees our situation. So our heads are filled with truth instead of vanity, verse 17, verse 21. Instead of empty, futile things, it's going to be filled with truth. We need to be careful to put truth in front of our minds, in front of our eyes, so that we can be thinking about whatsoever is true, whatever is right. Our minds are informed rather than ignorant, verse 18 and verse 20. Instead of walking around in darkness and in ignorance, and I don't know. What should I do? I don't know. I'll just do whatever somebody suggests that I do. Why not find what the Bible says about it and become informed with that? Our thoughts are guided by Jesus rather than our lust in verse 21 and 22. So instead of, what does my body say to me to do? If it feels good, go ahead and do that. No. What does Jesus say? What does he think about the choice that I need to make in this situation? And so we've got to process these things in our mind, the changing of the mind. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So since you've been a Christian, have you been growing in grace and in knowledge? Grace and in knowledge, we should seek that. We should study to show ourselves approved unto God. We should be searching the scriptures like the Bereans did. We should be studying and reading and trying to grow and being in our gathered group like this on Sunday, in our scattered group to keep learning and in conjunction with others and growing together in God's grace and in knowledge of him. We need these things in our life to keep growing. There was a man sitting on the second row during a revival meeting, and he just kept looking up at the evangelist as the evangelist was preaching. He never took his eyes off the preacher. He never changed his expression. He just had this kind of dumbfounded expression, like he was thinking, but he didn't smile. He didn't look down. He didn't, raise an eyebrow, or he didn't do anything. He was just sitting there, and the evangelist finally, after the end of the service, he went down and talked to the man and said, "Sir, I saw you just so intently focused, no expression. It's like, it looked like you were really deep in thought. Can I help you? What were you thinking about?" He said, "I was thinking about pigs." It was a pig farmer. He kept thinking about his pigs. And the whole time I was preaching, "Yeah, I was just thinking about my pigs." You know, we get fixated on things. And even right now, some of you are laughing. Some are like, "What's he talking about?" You know, we get our mind off on some things, and we don't grow like we should. We get fixated. We don't hear. We don't focus. Get our mind off pigs or other distractions, and get our mind on the thoughts of Christ. Think like Jesus. I'm not outside of Christ. I'm in Christ. This is a natural conclusion of that. Turn off the thinking about pigs and other stuff for a little bit and turn on thinking like and thinking about Christ. So that brings us to number two, changing affection. In verse 18 and 19, very interesting, their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, love is a choice. Love is also an emotion. And notice how it's connected to both ideas in verse 19, who being past feeling. Okay, their emotion, they're not really caught up in anything. They're just kind of dead. They're dead to feeling is the idea. Have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The emotion and choice of loving God is changed when you're a Christian. And I want to love God more. I want to love God more. Natalie and I are celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary this year. That's pretty exciting, and we're glad for that. And she still loves me. I'm really blessed. and so this Christmas time, for her Christmas gift, I bought a play plastic kitchen about this tall. Plastic kitchen. And I wrote on it, "This is your Christmas gift and our wedding anniversary gift," is this kitchen, but a real one. And so we've been working the last 4 weeks. We haven't had a kitchen sink for 4 weeks. And we've been working on the house. And so the last 4 weeks we've been working on this. Maybe we'll have it installed at the end of this week. Maybe the next week. I don't know. But any marriage, and we also hope to take a trip to a warm climate. Who's excited? I'm excited about that. Warm climate. All right, I hear you. Okay. Yeah, we want to do that. No, not Texas, somewhere else. But marriage with any relationship takes work and effort. There has to be some heart there, some affection that's required and that's needed. You have to work at loving each other daily. The same is true in the Christian life. You're working on your relationship. Not like I'm working for salvation, but I'm working on it. Putting some effort in here. I'm getting in the Bible to read God's word. I want to know what he says. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have some communication here with the Lord. Friends, Christians cannot be indifferent towards God. You can't be like, it don't matter to me. God, I know him. Yeah. Can't be like that. You don't get to be past feeling like this. We have some feeling in our heart as Christians. Before Christ, you were against him or indifferent to him. But since you trusted Christ, you're not against him and you should not be indifferent towards him anymore. You should be all for him, be all in. I'm in is what we're talking about through the book of Ephesians. So I'm all into Christ. Past feeling has the idea of becoming callous. Not just cold, but callous as in hardened. Hardened. Have you ever seen an addict, maybe a teenager, young adult, or somebody else, and they're addict, they're addicted to something, and their eyes are glazed over, or they're withdrawn from people, and the reason is their past feeling to some degree, and how does a person get to that? Addicts of any type can get to that point of being past feeling. They'll get to a point of being past feeling. I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't care what it does to my body. I love it. Okay, so they're past a feeling for God. These people are past a feeling for God. They have some affections. It's for the lust of their flesh. So the idea of an addict really captures that picture very good. Eyes glazed, they're tired all the time, no energy, withdrawn from others in public spaces, just, I got to get the next thing, whether it's they're watching or looking at pornography or they're taking a hit of an injection of something or smoking on something, whatever the case is. They have a feeling for that, but they don't have a feeling for or towards God like they should. You see, with no love for God, people turn to wickedness. Look at verse 19, and let's really understand this. Past feeling have given themselves over, so their love has actually gone to this idea of lasciviousness, licentiousness, free sex would be the idea. Just follow after whatever you want to do with your lust. And the next phrase, to work on cleanness, it has to do with purity, impurity. And we're just going to follow after that with greediness. So they're coveting this impurity and what is wrong in a physical type way. And people are addicted to sexual sins all over our world and all over our country today. That's what he's talking about specifically here. So, when someone replaces God with licentiousness, they replace the void relationally in their heart where God should be. They put eros there. They put erotic or sensual actions with others there. They don't have an emotion for God, so they're trying to find an outlet for relationship or that feeling of wanting to feel wanted or loved or accepted, and they replace that with these sexual sins here. And Christian, we're different. Our relationship with Christ is how we see every other relationship. That's how we look at life. Now, these are all heart matters. These are all heart matters. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Have you ever seen somebody go from one bad relationship to another bad relationship? And you thought this. Is that the same guy? Is that the same girl? It's like the same person, just a little bit different physical features. Their voice sounds a little bit different, but they sure act the same way. Why do people go from one bad relationship to another? It's the same idea, their heart. They're going after these other things instead of God. They've replaced, I'm trying to find acceptance, I'm trying to find feeling, and they're finding it in the wrong places with the wrong people. But as Christians, we're different. We find our acceptance, we find our fulfillment, we find who we are in Christ, not in an addiction, not in an unhealthy relationship. So these are heart matters. That's why the proverb says, keep your heart. You got to keep it means protect. The word keep means to protect. Like in the keep of a castle, the safest place, you protect your heart. Be careful who or what you give your heart to protect yourself, to protect not only your reputation, but to protect your life with diligence for every choice. All the issues of life are out of this. What you give your heart to. Jesus said in Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now notice, we love God first, then we love others second. That's the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so this is how we affect our relationships then, is loving God first. Somebody wrote the different faces of love. Joy is love exalting, and peace is love at rest. Patience, love enduring in every trial and test. Gentleness, love yielding to all that is not sin. Goodness, love in actions that flow from Christ within. Faith is love's eyes opened, the loving Christ to see. Meekness, love not fighting but bowed at Calvary. Temperance, love in harness and under Christ's control. The Christ is love in person, and love Christ with your soul. Change your thinking, changing in loving and our affections, and that results in changed actions. In verse 22 through verse 25, now let me give you a caution. A lot of times, even in Christianity, people want to fix the outside before the inside. They look at the actions, and they try to fix that. And what you get is conformity. You may even get some degree of uniformity, but you don't have real life change, long-lasting, true life change. The heart must be affected first. Then your mind. Love's the motivator, your heart. Then your mind, and then your actions. If we put it in a sequential or chronological order, that's how change is really affected. Mary Kay Ash, some of you use Mary Kay Cosmetics, and she kind of revolutionized that industry, and she wrote something about business. She said, be a problem solver. Effective managers know how to recognize real problems and how to take action to solve them. So these verses here are action verses. I'm going to see a problem, and I'm going to fix it. I'm not just going to cover it up. I'm going to go after this by God's grace. Verse 22, put off. Put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which was corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. So I'm going to put this off, hit the off button, but I'm going to put the on button, hit the on button to what Christ has in my life. Let some change happen in your heart and life. If we placed it in order, heart, mind, and then body. If we try changing in any other order, it doesn't really work, or at least it doesn't work for a long time. So here's a replacement principle. I'm going to replace what was wrong with what was right. Something that was evil with something that was, or that is, good. Replace the old with the new. Replace wickedness with righteousness. Now, it's not enough just to stop one bad thing. Well, I'm going to stop doing that bad thing. You got to replace it. You got to fill that void with something that's positive and something that's good. I've counseled dozens and dozens, lots of people, and I'm going to stop doing this. Well, you can stop that, but unless you replace it with something good, you're going to go right back. Just like water goes to the lowest spot, it's going to go right back. You're going to go right back to it unless you replace it with something better. This is a replacement principle. Put off, put on. So I'm going to start something new. Instead of a bad attitude, I'll have a healthy attitude. Instead of evil lyrics in the music or the themes that I'm watching in movies, I'm going to find something that's good and healthy and replace what was bad with something that was good. With wrong thinking, instead of thinking wrongly and not accurately, I'm going to think accurately and have truthful thinking replace what was wrong. If I'm not having any Bible reading, I mean, I'm not reading the Bible at all. I'm not studying scriptures at all. I'm going to read some Bible. I'll start to do something that's positive with that. Poor money management, always going into debt. Every few years is poor money management. No, I'm going to change by God's grace. I'll change and have some Bible stewardship in my life. Effective change. The friends that drain me spiritually and try to divert me, get me off the path that God would have me, they just keep pulling me down spiritually. Well, get some new friends. I'll replace the old with the new. I could still reach out to them. I can still minister to them. I could still share the gospel with them. But I could have some new friends that will encourage, that we can have common discipleship, walking along the path of life. Bad habits, replace that with good habits. Sinful choices with righteous choices. Old thinking becomes new thinking. Old loving becomes new loving. Old acting or doing becomes new acting and doing. So keep changing daily. I was thinking about baptism today. I'd love to see some more people baptized here in 2022. Some have talked to me about it. That was a long time ago. There's little Kyle there getting baptized. You know, in the first century church and a few centuries after that, I found this very interesting. With baptism, it pictures the death, burial, and resurrection. So you're going under the water, and the death and burial of Christ is represented. But also, here's my old nature. Here's who I was before. I'm coming up a new person in Christ. I'm cleansed by Jesus. I'm a new man in Christ. It's also pictured part of that as well, as you read Romans and other passages. Well, in some of the early centuries of once the gospel came to us, when adults would come to be baptized, they'd actually take off their old clothes, and when they come out of the water, they put on new clothes. I thought that was an amazing thing. So there was another picture that they added to that. Okay, here's who I was before, old clothes. Here's the new clothes. Sometimes when this passage is preached, the idea of the on-off button is put on some new clothes. Or change your wardrobe. I almost went with that. You know, change your wardrobe. Your wardrobe's changed. You got to put it on. I'm not talking about suits and ties and dressing up fancy and all this stuff. No, we're talking about living a life that's more like Jesus. Body, mind, and heart. Put it on daily. By God's grace, we can be more like Jesus, because if you're a Christian, you're in Christ. So let's live that way. Let's think that way. Let's love that way. Let's take some time to pause and visit with the Lord. Thank you for your good participation here today. Maybe your thoughts need to become more like the thoughts of Jesus, and that's your prayer. God, help my thoughts to be your thoughts. Anybody say, that's my prayer today? Let me think like Jesus. God bless you. Just put your hands up quickly, several hands. That's awesome. Amen. Very good. Then the next question is, Lord, would you help my heart to love you more? May I have some more affection, more emotion. The love is a choice. Love is also emotive. It has motion to it, heart motion in it. That's what the word emotion means. Lord, help me to love you more each day. That's my prayer. God, help me to love you more. Hey, I want to love God more as well. Thank you. Just put your hands up, lots of hands. Yes. Commit that to the Lord here in just a moment in prayer. Maybe your prayer is that my actions, my doing, my being would be right actions, doing, and being. God spoke to me about that. It all starts with the heart and what you're thinking about. But Lord, help me to have all that lined up so that I'll be doing and being who you want me to do and be, and what you want me to do and be. Many hands are already going up. God bless you. Yes, yes, pray that. Ask God for that here today. And then maybe there's a friend here on this campus. You've not yet trusted Christ. You're not in Jesus. If you don't know for certain that you are in Jesus, that your sins are forgiven, that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you're going to heaven, you're not sure about that, but you'd like to know more, please talk to me following a service. You can know for certain that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Maybe those at home, you're watching, call the church here in the next few minutes, and you can know how to be saved and have the gospel and be in Jesus. Let's pause and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be in Christ because of the death, burial, and resurrection. You defeated sin, death, and hell. You won that battle. Like this earlier chapter spoke of. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to live in you, that our minds would be thinking like you, that our hearts would be loving like you, that our actions would be reflecting who you are in our daily lives. So give wisdom, give courage to each one here with the decisions that they have made here. We also pray for those who may not yet know Jesus as their Savior. Let them be saved today. Let them come to a faith and know Christ for themselves. Lord, we thank you for meeting with us. We thank you for this time together. We rejoice in it and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.